It's from Isaiah chapter 30, and I'm going to read from verses 15 to 18, and it can be found on page 714. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountain top, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Amen.
I'd like to begin the sermon with one of those what-sits. I think they're called what-sits, you know, where you get pictures and you have to work out what it is. So let's see. Anyone work out what that says? Loneliness? What? No, not love and justice, no. But you're close. There's the love. There's the justice. It was what somebody said to me quite a few years ago after they'd come back from a conference. And they said, love over justice. Love over justice. And she'd gone over to America with a couple of friends, and that came back. It spoke to her. This was the sort of mantra that was being said at the conference. Because her son, who was, I can't remember, he was late teens, early 20s, something like that. But unfortunately, she felt he was using drugs, class C, marijuana, but he was keeping it in his bedroom. And she didn't know what to do. Should she tell the police or should she let it go? And so she was then told, love over justice. She decided not to tell the police that he was there, which probably a lot of parents wouldn't do. But I'm not sure if that's always right. Take the occasion of a little boy. In the first house that Sue and I had, there was a cul-de-sac at the back, and in those days, a Saturday morning job was you were out washing the car. It was the way the blokes got to know each other, because they were all out there washing their cars. If you're on a main road, you can't do this, but they were. But there was one little boy up the end, he was about 3 or 4, and he'd wait till you nearly finished washing the car, and then he'd come up and go, I'm going to wee all up your car. And he did. And when you saw the parents, and the parents were, I'm going back to 80s, and they were the sort of, you know, model parents of the 80s. They would say, now there, if you loved your mummy and daddy, you wouldn't do things like that, and you wouldn't be naughty. Now, go run away and don't be naughty, and play nicely. Of course, it didn't work. He still carried on being awful. And one day, I happened to turn around the corner into the end of our cul-de-sac. It was a T. And the mother was red-faced. She had the child by the arm. She was pulling him along. She was shouting and screaming at him. And I sat in the car and went, yes. I must have... You could say he got his just deserts. He got what he felt justice deserved. I'm not sure if he didn't actually as well, but you can't do that nowadays, so not in public anyway. So therefore, you know, we do have a sense of justice to us. We do have a sense of justice, but we're very quick. If we say, oh, what are some of the characteristics of God? We go, well, God is love. God is compassionate. God is merciful. We don't so often say, the Lord is the God of justice. The God of justice. That's what Isaiah 38 says. It says, I keep pressing the wrong button. It says in Isaiah 38, yet the Lord longs to be with gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to us. With a yet, we need to look back slightly as to what's happening. Beginning of chapter 30, you read this, words from God. Woe to the obstinate children, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help in Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. God calls his people obstinate children. Positive thing here is he still calls them his children. He hasn't abandoned them. But they're obstinate. They go their own way. They have their own friends who may not be the best for them. They're going to Egypt, the very place God took them away from, out of their slavery. But then they're going back towards them. What we read, what they should have done, verse 15, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. They didn't listen. They followed their own plans. Instead of standing with God, they decided to run for it. That was a bad move. We don't gain salvation by running away. We gain it through repentance. We gain it by saying sorry to God. We gain it by resting with God. How do we do that? A friend of mine drew a picture for me from this sculpture. And it's called The Child in the Hand of God. Child in the Hand of God. To me, that's a lovely picture of how we should be resting with God. Being completely enwrapped by God. Be completely dependent upon him. Our trust in God. But no, the children of Israel, they had other ideas. Verse 16, you said nothing doing. We rush off on horseback. This is what it says, or that's what it says in the New International Version. The message says this. You said nothing doing. We will rush off on horseback. We'll rush off. All right. Just not far enough. You said, we'll ride off on fast horses. Do you think your pursuers ride old nags? Think again. 1,000 of you will scatter before one attacker. Before a mere 5, you'll all run off. There'll be nothing left of you. A flagpole on a hill with no flag. A signpost on a roadside with the sign torn off. Then you reach verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Even though we reject God, even though we make our own plans, we go back at times to our old ways. yet the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Or you could translate that as, yet the Lord waits rather than longs for you. Could say the waits to be gracious to you. That's the God that we like, the one of love. The one who shows his up compassion, as it says, rises up to confront. The idea there is that he's standing on tiptoe to show us compassion. He's that involved in it. Like a child wanting to show their parent a picture that they've drawn. God longs to be gracious to us, waits to be gracious to us, and show us compassion. That's seen in the fact, of course, that Jesus came to earth. Celebrate at Christmas. But also then, as we will be celebrating soon, Jesus died on the cross so that we can know that compassion. We can know that graciousness. Sadly, what the people of Israel and what people can do today, what we can all do, is to reject that act of love, that act of grace and compassion. But as we read in Romans, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The waiting of God is to help us to have time to repent. To say to God, I want to follow you. I'm sorry for what I've done in the past. Now I want to be accepted as one of your children. That's the God we love. What about the God of justice? The God of justice. In Psalms we read the verse, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. He doesn't just is the God of justice. He loves justice. We love justice when it goes for us at times. But we don't love it when it goes against us. Then it's a problem. We're thrilled to hear about the God of justice when it affects somebody else. When it talks of means me and my sin, we're not so forthcoming on that. Remember, that's why Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time in the whole existence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that there was a break, that Jesus felt totally alone with his sins on our shoulders, where God was, if you like, fractured. I don't know how it happened. I'm probably being a bit heretical, what I'm thinking, but they could no longer communicate with Jesus because God cannot abide sin, cannot look on sin. But Jesus did that for us, and he dealt with it. But we still have to know that the Lord longs to be gracious, waits to be gracious to us. Therefore, he will rise to show us compassion. The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. I want us to look at this from another angle and take two parables that Jesus told. First one we like. Second one, yeah, we like, but sometimes I think we miss some. First one is about a younger son. Fairly obvious one. Who demanded his inheritance from his father before he died. Before his father died, rather than at his death. Father graciously gives it to him, goes off into the big city, squanders all his money, has lots of friends who help him. He squander all his money as well. He hits rock bottom. What do his friends do? Scatter to the winds. They're no longer there. He then gets a really downbeat job, one that he wouldn't do at all. And then it says he came to his senses. And he goes says, I could get a better position being working on my dad's farm. So he goes back home. But even before he gets to the house, the father runs out to him, hugs him, kisses him, orders new clothes to be put on him, and throws a party for him. That's the God we love, because his arms are there in love. Take a second. It's a story of a king who's lent money out to various people, but it's pay-up time. Maybe that was their equivalent of taxes. Loans needed to be repaid. One man comes into the king and he says, I can't pay you. Give me a couple of weeks and I'll be all right. It was a big debt. And the king is so moved by the pleading of the man, he pleads a lot more, that the king just wipes out his debt and says, that's fine, don't worry. That man goes out to a friend who owes him a paltry amount and he demands that money back. And the friend can't do it. He says, all right, I'll have you thrown in prison. That was the culture of the day. The debtor's prison until you can pay for it. Somebody sold the king, and the king let the one in prison out. But the man who put him there, he reinstated his debt and threw him in prison. God of justice. The God of justice. We identify God with the Father. Do we identify God with the King? He is a God who does forgive much. But he's also the God of justice. Why, the lady, when she said to me, love over justice, I had this alarm bell go off inside my brain. Because I don't think God works that way. I think God is love and justice together. We know he's a God of justice because of his actions. His justice does not allow us into to heaven because we've sinned. But his justice puts that sin onto Jesus. His justice meant he sorted out, or his love with justice meant he sorted it out in a different way. Sometimes we, as Christians, even as society, we don't see the God of justice. I can remember turning the television on the afternoon, the 9th of September 2001, and that was when they're showing repeatedly pictures of the plane hitting the Twin Towers in America. Not long afterwards, this lady Anne, I've gone backwards, or I've missed one. So Anne Graham Launce, she's the daughter of Billy Graham. She's the daughter of Billy Graham. She went on a radio station and a chat show, interviewed. It's quite a long reply she gives, so I'm not going to give all of it. But she was asked the question, where was God when the plane struck? Why didn't God stop the plane? That was the question she was asked. And she said, I believe that God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, remember this is that she's talking about American system. For years we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe that he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leaves us alone? She then went on to talk about the fact that they stopped prayers in schools, and then they stopped Bible reading in schools. She mentions other things in their society that society agrees with, the Bible doesn't. Towards the end of the letter, She says it's as if we've sent a letter to God that says, "Dear God, why didn't you save the little girl killed in her classroom, talking about a shooting, even back then? Sincerely, concerned student." And the reply, "Dear concerned student, I'm not allowed in schools. Sincerely, God." This is her views. She then ended by saying, "Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world goes to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how everyone wants to go to heaven, provided they do not have to believe, think, say, or do anything righteous. Funny how someone can say, 'I believe in God,' but still follows Satan, who, by the way, also believes in God. Funny how we are quick to judge but not to be judged. Funny how you can send 1,000 jokes through email and they spread like wildfire. But when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how the lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene pass freely through cyberspace, but the public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and the workplace. Why should God be there if we ask him to leave? God is a gentleman. His sense of justice would say, well, if they've asked me to leave, I will leave. Would it have made any difference if the plane hadn't have hit and a hand had come out and stopped it and saved it? We don't know. We don't know. Sadly, in this country, we have rising knife crimes. People dying that way. We haven't started, praise the Lord, to have mass shootings. And I haven't got to stand in front of you here with a revolver on my side ready to shoot somebody, like you get the inference they're trying to get in America. Teachers, although our schools, I've noted over the years, you know, when I was a teacher, you'd just walk straight into school. Now there's iron fences, security gates. It's like Fort, you know, a prison trying to get in school. Maybe the schools have got all that to keep the kids in rather than keep people out. I don't know. But we're saying as a country, God, we don't want you. So he's leaving. He's not leaving. He's just not going where he's not wanted. So why should there be this ring of protection? Why should God then step in when we want him to, but then totally move out when he doesn't? The God of justice, it says, is for those who wait on him. For those who wait on him. Blessed are all who wait for him. It is funny how we're quick to judge others but don't like being judged ourselves. When we follow God, that's what waiting on him means. We can have that relationship with him. And we can know his love and justice. Some people worry and get concerned about this God of justice. But actually it should also help us and be a warming to us, the same as the God of love, God of mercy, God of compassion. Because it means that if we suffer injustice, God suffers it as well. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we can live forever on this earth and never suffer injustice. But we know that God is there with us and we don't go against him. Remember, he's tiptoeing to show us compassion. But we need to invite him in. to our lives totally and utterly. It comes to those who wait for him, who trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, at times we find it difficult to cope in a way with thinking of you as a God of justice, because that means that justice goes judgment. And at times we know that we are wanting. But Lord, we ask that as we wait upon you, that yes, we will know your justice, but we'll also know your love, your graciousness and your compassion. We thank you that you are a compassionate God, but that you are also fair and just and right. So Lord, help us to be those who not only know your justice, but also follow and are with your justice. But as we know that justice is never hard, but it is tempered with love, ready to forgive when asked, as you are, Lord. Ready to forgive when we ask you to forgive us. But we realise that that is part, again, of your justice. Yes, Jesus went to the cross to save all, but he saves those who believe in him. Your love for those who believe in you, and then we receive eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.